that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are here at the Radio Ranch coming to you live this... Oh, the sun is just about to come over the mountains to the east this February 13th, 2016. And we do say welcome. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. Thanks for getting up. Thanks for pouring some coffee. Thanks for being with us this morning, having your Bible out with you. That's what Coffee with the Wranglers is. We've got our Bibles. We've got our coffee. And, hey, where we go from there, who knows? We'll have the phone lines open in just a few minutes if you do want to call in. But we'll open up with a word of prayer. Jason, we'd ask if you would do that for us this morning, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask, Father, for your blessing upon this program this morning. We ask that you guide us and direct us, Father, in our train of thought. Father, that you just allow this program to be a blessing to the saints and a blow to the snakes, Father. We pray that you use us in a mighty and powerful way. We recognize that it's not about us, but it's about you, your kingdom, Father, your people, and your word, Father. And we come before you humbly this morning and we just humbly ask, Father, for you to guide us and direct us in all that we do. Bless our hands and the labors that we do. Strengthen us, Father, and nourish us, Father. Give us what we need as far as what we need in our lives, Father. We pray for more of that Holy Spirit in our lives. We pray for more wisdom. We pray for knowledge. We pray for understanding, Father. And we call for these things to be redeemed down upon us, Father. For those things, we pray that you give us back, Father, everything that has been stolen from us, Father. Everything from our prosperity to our wisdom, to our knowledge, to our health, Father. And we pray that you grant it back to your people, Father. And we pray that you deal with our enemies as you see fit, Father. As we lift them up before your throne, we come against them in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we know they come against us on so many fronts right now, Father. And they're attacking us from our health to our finances, Father, to our wisdom, to attack in the name of the Most High, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we come before you and we lift him up to you, Father, and we pray that you deal him with as you see fit, just as you did in Psalms 83, Father. Deal with him as Midian and Sisera, Father. And we pray that you bring him down, Father, that you make him as dung of the earth, that, Father, that you make them a footstool under our feet, that you use our feet in a mighty and powerful way to stomp them into the ground. We pray for their existence to cease in this land, Father. We pray for them to crumble and them to fail. And, Father, when they plot against us, Father, we pray for those plots to fail. And we pray that you send confusion into the enemy's camp, Father, that you send it down upon them, Father, that they don't know they're right from their left or they're up from their down, Father. And we just ask, Father, for you to do it. Give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, it's Saturday morning. We'll have the phone lines open. If you do want to call in, if you have a comment or a question, we've had several with questions and some new listeners lately that have called in and then called back during the week that we've been able to send a newsletter to, or to be able to help out with some questions. And the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And as far as current events, plenty going on. Got some record cold, it looks like, heading up to the northeast. Had a couple prayer requests for some people up there that might not be as prepared as maybe they would like to be, or might not be as financially able to be as prepared as they'd like to be. So we do ask you to do that this week, as this northeast is just looking at some below zero weather. Keep his people in your prayers out there. We're having a typical February. I think we hit 45 degrees yesterday, and it's almost spring-like out here.
It's been like, I think it was 70 on Monday or Tuesday.
Wow.
And been pretty much in the 60s this week. It's, pretty crazy.
Yeah,
a lot of snow melting.
Yeah, that's what we're having here, and they're looking at literally 4 degrees below zero and 20 below wind chills in the northeast, New York, and Baltimore and Boston and places. So, if you're listening, if you're in those areas, remember, be a good neighbor. Check up on your neighbors and do what you can to help out during these times. It's something that we need to be doing. We need to be doing. Well, guys, I had a couple things that I thought we had a couple of comments this morning, but we'll sure put it to you guys first. If you had something you wanted to start off with, or somewhere we wanted to go this morning.
I don't care where we start. Start it off.
Well, how about if we start reading the Bible? That'd be a good place to start, folks. Hopefully you are reading the Bible. We're going to plug the Bible reading plan again, because you can't read your Bible too much, I don't think. We've got the February plan up at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. And if you're reading through it, a little different plan this year. And you may say, I read that Bible last year. I got other things to do this year. Well, we read it too. We're reading it again. We encourage you to do the same thing. You've had a year's worth of experience, a year's worth of life happen to you. A year's worth of new people coming into your life, maybe people passing on from your life. And so you go back and you read that word again, it'll have greater meaning. It'll have a newer meaning. It'll have a deeper meaning for you. You'll find comfort there. You'll find strength. Right now, Saturday, the February 13th, we're in Matthew 26. And, Matthew 26 is, there's a whole lot in there. The plot thickens, the plot comes out of the plan to kill our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You read about Judas, you read about the last Passover, you read about the Lord's Supper, the garden at Gethsemane. It's the Bible story. It is the Bible story right there. Summarized in a nutshell, and that's the reading yesterday and today, and Thursday as well. And that, I like this new plan, is it kind of you read a little bit more of the Old Testament at one time, but the New Testament is spread out a little bit. And if you'll read it that way, a little bit at a time, don't sit down and read, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John at one sitting. That's not the intention. The intention is read a little bit, you know, and think about that. If you just read one verse and you I don't want to use the word meditate, but you think on that and you pray to God, what does that mean, Lord? What does that mean? You know, you could read this one verse here in Matthew 26. I've got it highlighted in my Bible. It's verse 53. And it says, or do you think, this is Jesus Christ speaking, or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and He will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Now, a legion was, I'm looking here, 6,000 troops. And you know, there was one angel, I think, that caused 185,000 of the enemy to not wake up the next morning. So can you imagine 12 legions at 6,000 each? What's that, 72,000? And so, you know, this is our loving Savior. This is the Son of God, the King of Kings, who gave His life for all of us at Calvary. And He knew He had to do it. But He did it willingly. He did it willingly. He yielded up the power and authority that He had because He knew He had to go through this. And so, you know, you read one verse there. You know, and if you're what they call a Judeo-Christian just tuning in, that is Matthew 26:53. Write it down, Matthew 26:53. And if you're going to go to a church somewhere tomorrow, ask your pastor about that. Ask your pastor about that. And see, I think that's how we're to read the Bible. We're to look at it, we're to see it. What did he mean by this? And it can be any verse. You can go a little bit further, and you read over in verse 74, then Peter began to curse and say, by God, I don't know that man. How many times do we do that? Maybe not in that language or with that, you know, with cursing, as it says there. He began to curse and swear, I do not know the man. He was denying Jesus Christ, just like Jesus told him he was going to do. You know, he got over that. He was strengthened through that. He wept bitterly. You see there's repentance. It comes after that. But the Apostle Peter denied Christ three times right there. You know, that can be a lesson to us that, hey, when the times get tough, that's not the time to deny Him. That's the time to proclaim Him. Anyway. All right, I started, guys. So I encourage you, read your Bible.
The living Word.
Absolutely.
It keeps giving.
Yes. So,
God made it so that book would never stop benefiting those that seek to continue to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep. Amen. Amen. And it's the only good...
Today's world, you're...
Go ahead. Last thing. It's the only good news out there.
Yeah.
It is good news. The
you
rest
know, in
of
today's
it,
world, you're going to be filled with something. You're either going to be filled with the world, or you're going to be filled with the Word of God. And being filled with the Word of God doesn't leave room for the things of the world. That's really the key. That's another one of the steps, I believe, to come into that complete obedience that God demands of His people.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I don't know if you saw yesterday the standoff in Oregon ended peacefully, at least what the FBI is saying. But one thing that I found really interesting was the fact that, I don't know if you saw or not, but Cliven Bundy, the father, the patriarch of Ammon Bundy, who was arrested in that ambush, basically. They arrested him at the airport, heading to speak.
When he arrived.
To a group of people.
Yeah. Did they...
Was it in Oregon when he arrived?
Yeah, that's what I heard, just at the airport. Now, What are they arresting you got? What did they arrest you for at the airport?
It's charges.
Inciting a riot?
2004. No, it's the charges from the 2014 standoff in Nevada. Mm. But remember, the whole reason this thing started was the fact that a father and son rancher who paid the price of 6 months and a year in jail, or whatever it was that the judge had prescribed, they came back in double jeopardy because some stinking, I think it was some congresswoman or something said, or maybe it was a congressman, said that the judge's sentence was too lenient and wasn't even the minimal sentence, and demanded that they serve additional time in jail. That was the whole start of this thing. Now you got a government that's arresting this man who's, I believe, 67 years old on charges from the 2014 standoff.
Well, you know, you can't fight City Hall. You just got to do what they say and hope for the best, you know. And that's what you hear out there.
Yeah.
And if you hear it here, I hope you understand it's a little sarcastic here.
A lot sarcastic.
Yeah, the and the way the...
You had some quotes.
Yeah, the way the world looks at it, I saw a news article on this from the Christian Science Monitor. Don't think there's a whole lot Christian about it, just the monitor. Maybe might be a better way to look at it. But, they talk about the federal authorities moved in, surrounded. There was that, I think it's one of the senators or something from down Oregon, or not Oregon, Nevada or somewhere, that came up and kind of negotiated, helped get a peaceful surrender, they said. You know, just a couple quotes here from this Christian Science Monitor, because I thought that it just showed to me it's absolute insanity, the thought processes of some people. It befuddles me. It says here, in Oregon, the occupiers claim their First Amendment rights to protest against the government's land policies, but they also asserted their Second Amendment rights to open carry. Was the protest a peaceful demonstration by legally armed Americans, or a thinly veiled attempt to intimidate by threat of deadly force? And so, no, it wasn't a threat. It was just letting them know that they have a right to do that, as outlined in the Constitution that's been set up, and, you know, that at least most people think, and it should be, the, you know, some of the laws that govern this nation. Now, you didn't hear any problems like this. The FBI and SWAT weren't sent in Ferguson, Missouri, when they rioted for a solid week, burning buildings and shooting people. Or when that spilled over into Baltimore. You know, it's discrimination pointed towards these people. These people walked around peacefully. The only shots fired were from the police when they killed one of them. That's the only shots fired. Right? Am I wrong in that? I mean, as far as we know, whereas in places like Ferguson and Detroit and Baltimore, you know, the rioters were sure protesting, but they were firing off guns and Molotov cocktails to police cars and all types of things. Goes on, says, in the West, where the gun played a major role in Manifest Destiny, the issue has become particularly visceral, I guess. I don't know that word, didn't even know how to pronounce it. Entwined with anti-government action. Elsewhere, it is more a provocative statement of individual rights. And this quote by this Christian Turner, professor at University of Georgia Law School, says, either way, what we're seeing is new. If you do look at guns as bearing messages and people talking with their guns by carrying them, you can't ignore one thing they undoubtedly say: I can kill you. Whatever else you intend to say, you have a machine that can instantly cause death. Well, you know, the cops carry guns. Police officers, let me say, carry guns. I know several of them out here in the county and a couple on the city. Good people. They carry guns, but you know, every now and then they pull them and kill people. That's what, you know, that... Anyway. And it... it just...
I saw a bumper sticker, and I've always liked it, and it says, guns don't kill people, people do. Yeah. And I think that that says, you know, a whole lot right
that,
there.
That says it. It really does.
But people, you know, they want to blame the gun, but they don't want to blame the finger behind the trigger.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you they've taken liability out, and you can basically tell who is anti-gun. I mean, we've got a whole society full of anti-gunners out there, you know, that are gunning for your guns. You know, I mean, usually when somebody's anti-gun, they're pro-communist. And, you know, this guy that's talking, you know, he sounds like a commie son of hell.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I've seen a...
Well, the funny thing is that those people that want the guns and want to take away our guns, they have all kinds of guns and,
Armed bodyguards and things like that. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Protecting them.
Yep. Here's a quote by David Neuwirth, a co-author of Over the Cliff, How Obama's Election Drove America's Right Insane. And see that even in their book, they tell you that's how they look at it. They think that I am insane because I have a gun and I enjoy shooting target practice with my gun. So to them, I'm insane because of that. This movement is innately violent. Here's the quote. That's what these guys are doing in Oregon. There was an inherent threat of violence when they took over this refuge. Just a threat. No actual violence. See, just a threat. Just a thought crime. You might think of being violent. They didn't have to wave guns to make that threat clear. They just had to be packing them. They're trying to force their view on the rest of us at gunpoint. And right now, these guys feel encouraged and empowered and ready to roll. They said from the very beginning out there in Oregon that it was peaceful, that they had their guns to make the point that they would only use them in self-defense. I know some other people that are that way, you know, that only have it. But the way the left looks at you is if you just, you don't have to wave the gun to make a threat of violence clear. You just have to be packing them. You just have to wear them. You just have to have them. Well, anyway, blaming a gun.
What a lot of people don't realize is, I mean, there's different people. I mean, that have guns. I mean, there's people that have them that like to shoot. They really enjoy it. They do it for fun or for sport. And, you know, I fall into that category. I just like it. You know, I like shooting. I like the accuracy. I like, you know, tinkering. And it don't matter what it is. I like to shoot.
Sure.
Now, there's other people that I know, and I've got family members that are the same way, that, you know, they don't necessarily like to shoot like I like to shoot. It's not something that they do for fun, but it's something that they do, and they're proficient at. They do it because they're told to. They're supposed to. It's written on their heart. They know that they have got to have it put away. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that may not necessarily, you know, may not something like they like to do, but they know that they happen to know how to do it, and they've got to have one or two, and...
Yeah.
You know, that's where we're at.
Yeah. The Bible tells us that you know, it doesn't talk a lot about infidels, like the Quran and like our Muslim neighbors, but it does say that something to the effect that if you don't take care of your own family, if you don't provide for your own family, that you're worse than a non-believer, right? And again, that's not a direct quote, but I think that it applies as well, that we are to provide, you know, shelter, food, protection for our family. That's one of the, like you said, Jason, that's one of the things that are, one of the laws of God Almighty that are written on our heart, that we are to do that. We are to protect our family. And, you know, there's those out there that are just the opposite, that want to harm, if not my family, your family. If not your family, your neighbor's family. They are of their father the devil. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. Whether they're hopped up on drugs or just the way they are, it doesn't really matter. But there's those out there. I wish I'd have brought it in the broadcast booth back here this morning. I've got an article up there. Somebody sent it to me last year, but it's it talks about the difference between the wolf, the sheep, and the sheepdog. You know, we're called sheep, the sheep of His pasture. And that's what the majority of us are called. You know, God calls His people His sheep. He says, "My sheep hear My voice." He also talks about those ravenous wolves that come in. Well, you know, if you've read Mr. Hoskins' book, The Wolf and the Sheep, he says, you know, wolves eat sheep. It's what they do. It's just the way it is. But this article points out that some of the sheep, for whatever reason, have decided to be sheepdogs. Now, we have a guy over in Tie Siding raises sheepdogs. He's got some world-class champions right over here in Tie Siding. Got a little sign out, and they have trials. They'll have even have sheepdog trials over there, you know, tournaments and things like that. And but, you know, the sheepdog recognizes that there's a wolf, that there are wolves out there. And the sheepdog says, well, I'm taking it upon me to help protect the sheep. And some people have that, you know, have those thought processes. And I think it's put in them innately, not like this left-wing, liberal, communist, gun-hating, Obama-loving, you know, talking about the, oh, those in, you carry a gun, you're innately violent. No, but I am innately, you know, given certain unalienable rights. That means the government can't do anything about them. They're given by God. It's written on my heart to protect my family, to love my neighbor as myself, and so to want to protect my neighbor and his family as well, should the need arise. And Jason, I like how you put it. These communist, socialist people, they don't like that at all.
Well, you can see here, I'm reading some of these things that came out yesterday during the siege. 11:46 a.m., the Bundy family says on Facebook, they are safe. Thank you, God, for watching over us. Keep us in your hands and deliver us from this present evil. Then you got Kate Brown, 11:36 a.m., apparently, I guess that was before that, speaks about the end of the occupation. The news of its conclusion, she said, came with great relief and gratitude due to the work of the FBI, federal authorities, our state police, and sheriff's association. But Brown, who demanded swifter law enforcement action last month, also made clear the saga over the occupation has yet to end. She said tensions in Harney County, including traumatic harassment by militants and their sympathizers, have yet to be soothed. I read somewhere yesterday, but I didn't get to look into it, but apparently the FBI is seeking additional powers to be able to prosecute those who support those that would make a stand against the government.
Yep.
So the noose is tightening, for sure.
Yeah.
There's only one way out. It's, you know, as soon as we come to the fact and realize that this is a spiritual warfare, and we use all of the tools that we've been given and continue to seek for more of the answers, which are in the book you've been talking about, the Holy Bible. You know, the Bible's clear, too. In the last days, knowledge would increase. They'll run to and fro, and knowledge would increase. Well, you can see that that's what's happening.
Well, folks, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913, this Saturday morning, February 13th, 2016. And you may hear this broadcast at other times. We do replay them on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. It'll play again on Monday evening as well. You won't be able to call in live then, of course. It'll be the recording. But this morning, Saturday morning, hey, you can call in. You can.
Yeah, it's, you know, I had a story that I that somebody sent me the other day, and it was about this Christian, what did they call him? A campus preacher. What do they call those campus preachers?
A campus preacher?
Yeah.
Just an evangelist, or?
Yeah.
Like a street preacher, corner guy that stands on the corner, Captain? Okay.
Anyway, sure. This guy he was cited by police down in Texas for offending someone. Basically, they wrote him up. It happened just outside of Austin. He was issued a disorderly conduct citation for offending a student, and was approached several times by the police officers, and then was finally cited for disorderly conduct for offending a student. For offending a student, basically talking about sin. What was right, what was wrong, versus what's in the Bible. I mean, there's just another prime example of people, of society that we live in, putting man's law above God's law.
Yep.
And, that's really showing of the times that we're in. And, we're reaping the wrath of God that's down upon us.
Yes.
And,
yes.
My encouragement to people is to grow in... when you read your Bible, if you read your Bible, apply it to your life, and be different, be set out, be different than the world, be a light into a dark world. Set your mind up to do things, and have that communion, that daily fellowship with God, because that's what's gonna get you through the things that are to come. It's not reading your Bible every day; it's taking that and applying it to your life and making yourself different. It's the relationship that you have with God and with the Heavenly Father. It's that changing, making changes in your life. When we're Christians, I think the pastor put it really good. There's sometimes the only difference between the Christian and the heathen or the non-Christian is the Christian is the one that's running away from sin. You're running away from it. You're trying to make the difference. And the word holy, I think, was a really interesting word. I looked it up again the other day, and, it means to be set apart, to be different, and is basically is what it means. And it's, holy was translated a lot of different ways in the scriptures throughout time, but it was, it was referred to, as men and women of God were considered holy. And it meant that there were set apart, that they were different, they were and then they were that light into a dark world, and there was something different that resided in them. And it's kind of like I'm trying to think of a good way to put it, but that's where we're at. We've got to have the faith that overcomes a world order, that new world order that is coming down upon us. And I believe that we are at the ending of an age, the beginning of a new age that is right there. I mean, I believe it's right there before our eyes. And I talked to two people this week, and it was interesting because faith has come up a lot lately. And we talked about faith, and both of them said, two of them said to me, two of the people that I talked to when we got onto the subject of, what is it going to take and how do we make a difference? And both of them said, I need more faith. And they said, that's one of the things that I've been praying for, is praying for, God to give me the faith that I need. And, I think that's a very, very good point, too. It's one thing when you pray to for God to teach you faith. Now, that's kind of a scary prayer. That's kind of like praying for patience, in my mind. Now, I think it's more, it's a lot simpler just to pray to have the faith that we need, do as the scripture says, that pray that, we will be found worthy to escape the destructions to come. And, if the Bible says to do that, then I'd say that's a pretty good instruction manual right there.
Yep, Deuteronomy 7:6 says that very thing in the Amplified, Jason. For you are a holy and set apart people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a special people to himself out of all the peoples on the face of the earth. And of course, the Amplified adds that, set apart. Set apart. Absolutely. Let's take a phone call here. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, hello. Joe here.
Good morning, Joe.
Morning.
Morning, Joe.
Hello, guys. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment here about firearms in general and home defense and carry and all that kind of thing. I tell people when they come to my house, they're generally the type of people that are around here, they're generally, you know, they're gun people. That's part of the life out here, even though Pennsylvania is probably one of the more restrictive states. Pennsylvania is filled with people that, I don't know, especially out where I'm at, it's pretty prevalent across the state, actually. You pretty much do what you have to do. And the state police generally don't show up here too often. And we don't have local police. In fact, I have to drive about 15 to 20 miles to the north of me just to see a stoplight. So it's pretty nice around here.
Yeah, that sounds like a good place to live.
The state police, if you get into a conversation with them, they'll tell you, you know, you're on your own. and they know it, and we know it. So I tell people when they come here, they, you know, I've got a couple of pretty nice pieces here. One of them's an M1 Garand, and I got that in pretty good shape. The stock's a little dinged up and stuff, but it's a cool little gun, and I hand it to them, and the thing weighs about 10 pounds empty. So they go, "Wow, man, how do you shoot this?" Well, you just do. I mean, I have a video. It's a declassified U.S. Army video. It's a two video tape set, pretty old, on the M1 Garand and how they used to teach the troops how to shoot. And one of the things that they work on you first and foremost is your upper body strength. And here's the sergeant who's in front of the camera. You know, that's like a Hollywood production almost. If you watch it, it's pretty funny in places. But he's holding this 10-pound Garand with one arm, not the forend hand, the pistol grip hand. He's holding that thing up, and he's got it on his shoulder, and he's holding it up sideways, not in front of him, but sideways in front of the troops. And I'll tell you what, that takes some muscle.
Yeah, it does.
But I tell people, I say, you know, I'm not pro-gun. Don't get me wrong. I love the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. There's no room for anything else, really, except what He tells me by the Spirit. But I say, you better have one. And, you know, the old saying that a man with just one gun is a dangerous man. But I really don't know anybody with just one gun, especially hunters. So anyway, I just thought I'd spew out a little bit and talk about the topic one of the topics that you were talking about. So I guess I'll.
Well, I appreciate it, Joe. Thanks for the call.
Have a good day then.
You too.
You too.
Okay. Bye now.
All right, Joe. Thanks. 307-745-5913. If you want to call in. Seems like Jesus Christ himself said, if you don't have a sword, you know, the first time he sent his disciples out, he sent them out and he said, don't take nothing with you. You don't take an extra coat. You don't take any money. You just go. But they came back after that. That's not the final instructions he gave them. You know, they came back after that. That's when they came back and said, Lord, we saw Satan falling like lightning. And he said, well, that's good. That's good, you know, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But then later, before he left, he gave them further instructions. And he said, you know, take a sword. And if you don't have one, sell your cloak and buy one. And then, Jason, I know you don't like to hear this, but one of them showed the Lord two swords. He said, here's two swords, Lord. And the Lord said, that's enough. And I don't think that the Lord meant that's all you can have, but that's all you can hold at one time. You know, he had a sword in one hand, a sword in the other hand. He said, look, Lord, here's two. And the Lord said, I think the Lord gave him a thumbs up and said, that's good. That's good. You know, I think that's the gist of that. Because, yeah, you can't. You can't. How about this? You can't wield more than two swords at one time. You might have a couple on your back, spares, right? But you can't wield more than two at one time. And if you got two, hey, that's even, you got a spare for your buddy if it comes down to that. So that's a good thing. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, you were talking about how they arrested the father, and how the charges, you know, the count was for going back in 2014. And I thought from the very, very beginning that this was a setup to get revenge for that. You know, they had that standoff, you know, several years ago, and people were, you know, pumping their chests. You know, we won, we took the feds off. I think somehow that those two young sons were lured up there to Oregon, and then they were, you know, it evolved to where they're in jail, and now they got the father. He left the ranch, and now he's in jail. So I think the feds just got their revenge. I think they probably had agents in there talking to the sons and convinced them that that was a mission that they should, you know, take their campaign on the road. And that's just my opinion. I don't know. And then when I saw that the charge went back to that 2014, I thought, well, sure, that it all fits in. I mean, it could be all coincidence, but I don't think so.
You mean you think that the government...
Well, they can't let them.
Yeah, they can't let them win.
The establishment can't let them get away with it, is the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, you know, the Sitting Bull had his victory there at Little Bighorn, but then, you know, the government got back at them, you know. So, I mean, I look at the ranchers now as just the remnants of the Indian tribes. I think it's the same sort of program, you know. They're just not going to let them win. That's all there is to it. They're going to do away with them or put them in a museum or something. You know?
Yeah, that's their plan. That's certainly their plan. They'd rather, and, you know, that that Hammond Ranch out there in Oregon, that's the last holdout. It's the last, all the other ranches around them. Over the last 25 years, have been taken over by the BLM, by the federal government. Every single one of them. And the news things that I've seen, the reports, that Hammond Ranch is the last one.
Now they're in jail, and the Bundys were the last holdout. Now they're in jail.
Yeah.
And so they'll go up on the auction block here. They'll be forced to sell probably here shortly. So. Sad to say.
Apparently he's, what will happen. I think he's 74 years old, not 67, like I had said. So he's not, he's not old, but he's not a young man either.
Yeah, he looks pretty healthy, though, in the picture of him. But, yeah, but the jail time won't do him serving well, that's for sure.
So, no.
I think it was a plot, you know. It could be a coincidence, but immediately I heard about it, I actually wrote on a blog, you know, Revenge at Last, and it all panned out that way, I think.
Yeah. Well, not that the government has a history of putting in paid informants, putting people in of their own people to instigate these type things. No, they certainly didn't do that at Waco or in Oklahoma City or in the Fast and Furious or anything like that. So who knows?
Yeah, for those Bundy boys to go up there, they left the reservation. And that's when they were caught, you know. It was odd how it played out, you know. I guess they just sort of let it play out to let it take its natural course. But that was the aim of it, was to put them in jail, and that's what they got. So.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right, well, thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you.
Okay.
Well, and it's interesting how they make it out, too, when they come in, when they, like, their quotes. You know, they sure put the quotes up right away of supposedly quotes. I mean, and that's one of the other things is we've got to realize that we only know what has happened and what's going on out there and what we've seen on the media. We haven't had anybody out there. We don't know anybody with firsthand experience there. So it's really, up in the air of what has taken place. You know, they're saying that the last person that was holding out, you know, that he reportedly threatened to shoot himself several times, complaining that he couldn't get marijuana. He was ranting about UFOs, drone strikes in Pakistan, leaking nuclear power plants, and government the government chemically mutating people. So they come out, they make him out to be a kook right there, and, you know, I mean, who knows?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You only know what they want you to know.
I mean, I've tried, and I went through all different kinds of news sources and everything, and then everything goes back to, this Associated Press article, or this press release, and, we have no idea. They could have went in there and shot everybody up, or gassed them and arrested them, and taken them away in a meat wagon for all we know. I mean, that's where we're at. I mean, there's a reason that they have taken complete control of the mass media, and it's he who controls the media can control the news.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I got a text from a brother that was listening and said, if you think about it, think about the size of those swords back then, too, the claymores and, those things like that. You couldn't carry more than two.
Yeah. Yeah, they've gotten some swords today are compact swords. Some are even called carry swords, they're even made for that today.
Yeah. Did you guys see that there was a story, I think it was in Ohio, where a Muslim went into a restaurant, supposedly owned by Israeli, but who knows. And anyways, just started hacking up the patrons of the restaurant with a machete. I just saw that this morning.
Yeah,
really?
Did see that. The interesting thing about that, when that came out, they didn't have any names. They didn't have anything at all, to contrast that, I think a couple police officers got shot, like in Maryland, by some, who knows what was going on, but they sure let you know that shooter was a white male, okay? That was in the initial news reports. This one in Ohio, haven't seen anything on that, but this morning, Fox News says FBI investigators have not yet found any evidence to suggest the attack was directed by the Islamic State or any other foreign terror. But federal authorities are still running down the possibility that the machete hacker, Mohammed Berry, was inspired by terrorist propaganda.
Well, what's
Mohammed
funny too is when
Berry.
You read that story?
Yeah.
Well, when you read the story, it doesn't say Mohammed Berry, it says Berry.
Yeah, well, that was the original one. Yeah, yeah. And this morning, yeah, it's Mohammed Berry, but... and then get this. It's unclear what motivated Berry's attack, but it appears he was known to the FBI. And I think little things like that leak out, And so what's the quote here? Well, there's something that's in the FBI computer system came back about the vehicle and this person. Something did. Now, how do you think it would have been in that diner if old Mohammed Berry pulls out his machete and yells Allah Akbar, and then you hear bam, 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 because somebody was carrying,
yeah,
and they sent him to be with his Allah. Well, then he wouldn't have hacked four people. The police
then you
shot
drag him outside, and you go back to drinking your coffee, and nobody knows anything. That's what needs to happen.
Well, again, it's when God's people turn away from God, He brings it all on them. He brings it,
yeah,
all on them, not just a little bit. But when you read through that, that there will be terror within. And, if you go out on the street, there's terror. If you stay inside your home, there's terror. And that's happened before in the days of the captivity, when God brought the Assyrians in to capture His people, to punish His people. And God's doing it again. Oh, that, Lord, You would open the eyes of Your people to let them see this. Let them see that is why. That is why these Muslims are in here doing this. Now they're not the only enemy. They certainly are not the only enemy that Christians have today. But they're certainly a big one, and they are certainly wreaking havoc in this once Christian nation.
Yeah, but You know, let's end the broadcast on a positive note. The positive note is last Sunday at the local church, we had a woman down from Southern Colorado come up to be immersion baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. And it was actually her and her brother. And the tears of joy in her brother, who I spoke to after I baptized her, and he said, this is 22 years in the making. You know, 22 years of planting the seed, 22 years of showing the scriptures, 22 years of trying to relay the teachings of Pastor Peters to his sister. And then the joy in her eyes when she realizes that she's finally become obedient. She's finally gone into that watery grave of baptism. She comes out white as snow, clothed with Christ, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and her name's entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the things we need to remember and rejoice on, that greater is He that is for us than all those that are against us, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Amen. You know, it was, when I sure enjoyed talking to that lady. I talked to her for quite a bit. They were there when I showed up for church and came up, and, you know, she was just so excited to be there and so excited, and she realized that, you know, this is what I got to do. And she just, you know, she sat there and told me, you know, how excited she was probably 10 times. And, you know, she came to get baptized. She came to get baptized, and she just had that joy that, you know, was just, you could tell that God had been working for a long time on her and broke through that, started cultivating that heart of hers. And, you know, the joy.
She had a glow. She had a glow to her, too.
Exactly. Even before she got baptized, she had that glow that just was, you know, she was on fire for this. She knew what she was going to do. She knew why she was doing it. She knew that she'd been guilty of it. And she wanted, I mean, she was excited to have her sins washed away.
Yes.
I was super encouraged by it, because just to see, you know, both her and her husband, how excited they were, you know, to make that trip and to come down there and do it was just, was awesome.
Well, that's her brother. That was a misconception.
Oh, that was her brother. Okay.
That's her brother.
Yeah, and her brother had worked on her for 22 years, he told me. This is 22 years in the making, and he was, you know, tears of joy.
Amen.
And, you know, we rejoice with them. The Bible says that the angels rejoice when even one person gives their life to the Lord Jesus Christ and makes that, is obedient to that command.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, guys, got a phone line ringing. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Wranglers. This is Paul outside Chicago.
Good morning, Paul.
How are you guys?
Morning, Paul. Good, how are you?
Hey, very good, thank you. You know, all the things that we're talking about this morning here is all about biblical law. And the Constitution was founded under biblical law. And one of the things that we talk about, these alphabet agencies, we know that they have no constitutional authority. They have no godly authority, in other words. And the other lie that the enemy puts out is the separation of church and state. And it was actually the opposite, that we wanted to preserve these principles in the public arena, in government. It's the opposite of what they're pushing. There is no separation of church and state.
Absolutely. That's not found in any founding documents. It is found in the, the Communist Manifesto, but it's not found in any of the American founding documents whatsoever.
That is correct. And the other thing that's worth noting, you know, Obama could be a Muslim, very well could be, but the question is, in all these invaders that are coming in to all the white countries, people have to ask themselves, who's allowing this? Who controls? Who's the hidden hand again? And the people promoting the persecution myth, if you look at, you know, since 1968, there's probably near 30 gun laws that these people We already have gun laws. We have gun laws before you were allowed in this country. And these folks, if you go through this, Emanuel Seller, Howard Metzenbaum, Herb Cohen, Chucky Schumer, Dianne Feinstein, Orrin Hatch, Barbara Boxer, Frank Wattenberg, I could go on and on. No, we have gun laws, and they've been here all along. So this we don't need. The question I have, we're outside Chicago here. Last month, we had 280 shootings in January. The question is,
wow,
who's feeding the guns to these criminals? Somebody's feeding the guns, and nobody talks about that. You see?
Good point. Probably another Fast and Furious thing hidden.
Yes.
Sort of operation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's been known here locally, and I talked about this because people in other parts of the country don't get to see this here, but these governments are mafias. It's getting quite obvious.
Yeah, I agree. I read a story about a shooting that took place, and they acquired the firearm from it. They're just outside of Chicago, and four or five people had been shot with the same gun, and it had been entered into the evidence locker four or five times. And, you know, the thing is once somebody's shot with a gun, you never get it out. I mean, it's supposed to be, you know, according to them, it's supposed to be completely destroyed, you know, melted down, cut into pieces, blah, blah, blah. And for
sure,
it to be in the evidence locker four or five times, I mean, somebody's taking it and selling it and putting it back on the street. Pretty obvious.
Yep.
Good point.
Absolutely.
And it's been known here that these mobsters, politicians, they use street gangs here for enforcement and to disrupt other people's campaigns trying to get in outsiders. It's known. It's reported. And it goes on. Because we're living in lawless America. Because we've gotten away from the law. Our people have sold out the country to our enemies.
Very well put.
Yep.
Very well put. Good
summary.
Been infiltrated.
Paul, thanks for the comments. We're about out of time this morning.
All right,
thanks,
brothers.
Paul.
Praise God.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
God bless.
Well, guys, we are about out of time. We do want to remind you and invite you to church tomorrow. You can join us at scriptures4america.org. Just click on the live video stream starting at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast for the Sunday morning church service. And if you do that, I don't think you'll be disappointed. Your faith will be increased because you will hear the Word of God. And our God tells us that faith comes by hearing. And so if you tune in and join us for church tomorrow, your faith will be, you'll get faith. How about that? So we encourage you to do that. Guys, thanks. Folks, if you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America. P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And our email is preacher@sfaw.org.
Rolling, stay calm. This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and pray together, make them hell's and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating.
our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
Move it, moving, though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride.